This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Welcome back to the Michael K. Show. We're on until 7. That time, Chris Carlin takes over. Rangers at 10 o'clock, the coverage, 10:30. And after tonight, no Ranger game will start later than 8 o'clock. So that's a good thing. That's after tonight. But tonight starts at 10:30, Rangers against San Jose. Let's bring in our good friend, the Hall of Famer, Mike Breen. Hi, Mike.
Give him the $100.
No.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
Al Kaline? Really? If he thinks it's a battery, that's his fault.
I'm with Al.
Really?
What was I asked to do, Mike? Yeah. Name 5 retired numbers. I did that.
Exactly.
Well, Mike, you have more money than me. You send him to Hundy.
Why does he have to? You're the one that threw it out there thinking it was impossible, and I did it.
I didn't think it was impossible, but I didn't think you'd throw me Al Kaline.
Well, I confused Al Kaline with Harmon Killebrew. It's my bad. But Mike, I'm supposed to be embarrassed instead of the fact that I was able to name 5.
You know, but I confused some answers on the SAT. I should have gotten a 1600.
That's, I don't know if that's the same thing. Hey, Mike. So
I brought it up.
So, Mike,
I'm sure you are.
You knew what you were doing.
Mike, this is important, the Al Kaline of it all, but I got to ask you. I asked the same thing earlier to Alan Hahn. Any insight onto why R.J. Barrett in year 3 just can't seem to find that consistency? Because, man, when he's a 30-point guy, they become a vastly different team.
Oh, no, there's no question. Could be a couple of things. You know, everybody was affected differently by getting sick. Some had zero symptoms. Some had some real symptoms. And, you know, he did seem to have a difficulty when he first came back in terms of just not being right. Some players just need to be in rhythm, and missing games had something to do with that. New teammates, because they were all kind of hesitant, that entire starting five for like the first 2 months of the season. And then some players just take a little while to get going every season. Some take a little while to hit that consistency mark until their third or fourth or even sometimes the fifth year. There's a lot of them. When he's right, boy, oh, boy, he's just really fun to watch. You know, that makes the difference between the great, great players and the really good ones. And he's just taking a while before he gets there. He clearly has the ability. Now he's got to be able to find it where he does it almost every night.
Are you like everybody else, Mike? I don't see a downside to the Reddish deal.
Yeah, no, not at all. The potential of the young man when he came out of college, you know, there were people thinking that he was going to go in the top 3, the top 5. And again, for another reason, why did it not just connect right away there? Could have been a lot of reasons. He was injured. He didn't get perhaps the opportunity that he needed to get into rhythm. They had a coaching change. And there's so many different factors that go into the success of a player. Sometimes it's where you are, at what point in your career, with who you're playing for, not only as a coach but or teammates. It's crazy. And I've seen so many players over the years who have just all the ability and athleticism, and for some reason it doesn't connect. Sometimes it never does. But others, it's just the circumstances that are around. And, you know, both players are extremely talented. And if they reach the potential, it could be just a magnificent trade for them.
How do you think he'll get used once Rose comes back and everybody's healthy? Who do you think ends up losing minutes?
Yeah, that's a good question. The thing is, it's hard to tell, Don, because he can play different positions. Because of his size. And, you know, I think probably Quentin Grimes might be impacted a little bit. Alec Burks could be impacted, even Evan Fournier. But in some cases, it could be an impact in a good way, in that if Tom Thibodeau decides to go small, you know, maybe Julius Randle can get a little bit more rest in certain areas. So it could be just better that other guys don't have to play as many minutes, or it might be tough that one or two guys might have to sacrifice the minutes that they've been getting now. But it's been such a crazy year anyway that I think a strength of a player is that ability. He's been able to, you know, especially the bench players, you go 2 weeks where you hardly play, and then all of a sudden you go 2 weeks where you're playing 30 to 35 minutes and you're starting. I've never seen anything like that in terms of guys going from out of the rotation to starting and playing 30 minutes. And it's happened on a lot of different teams. So to have that versatility in your roster is a really good thing to have. And here's, to me, like the number one thing of it all, you're adding talent. Yeah, you have to get players who are tough defensively, and you have to get players who fit into systems, et cetera, et cetera. But you're not going to go far in the NBA unless you have talent. And this guy adds to their talent level.
Mike, are you concerned at all about sort of the narrative that may be building around Julius Randle and his sensitivity? Or do you think that at some point here, as long as he plays decently, we'll forget about the thumbs down incident from last week?
I think we can forget. I think we are going to forget about the thumbs down incident. Already you see a little bit of a turn. Like, he played a really smart game last night, and he's going to have within the next five, I pretty much can guarantee you, he's going to have in the next five, he's going to have a 30-point game because he's got that ability. And yes, when you give a guy that contract, you are so-called building around him. But I don't think anybody, even in the Knicks organization, as much as I think Julius Randle is a player, an all-star caliber player who deserves that big a contract, they know that they've got to get more talent and that he's not necessarily your number one guy to win a championship. They've got to get more talent. And the more he gets accustomed to not having to carry a team like he did last year, the better he's going to be and the better the team is going to be long range. Because I think that was, and that's been part of his struggles this year, is that, you know, he led them in everything last year. And if he didn't have a big game last year, they didn't win very often. Obviously, when Derrick Rose came on, it helped as well. But I think he has to realize that it's okay that if he scores, you know, 8 points on a night but gets 12 rebounds and has 5 assists, they still can blow somebody out. And I always think back, the first team when I was doing games that really hit home for me was those 2008 Celtics. Paul Pierce had nights where he had 6 points and he could care less because they were crushing people. You know, Kevin Garnett, he didn't care how many points he scored. Even Ray Allen. That team was beautiful that way, in that nobody cared who did the scoring as long as they carved up their opponent and moved on to the next one. And I think for some players, that's something that you have to get used to. And I think that's what Julius Randle's getting used to this year.
Mike Breen is our guest, and he is in Chicago for tomorrow night's Bulls Warriors game, which should be great. And also, Mike will be signing autographs outside Wilson's restaurant tonight, so stop by at 8 o'clock if you'd like.
How's butter?
Butter's great. Butter has made a lot of appearances on the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You don't want to talk about butter. You want to move on to the question, I can tell.
All right, no, because I don't think people care about butter. They care about what you have to say. So my point is,
people care about dogs. People love dogs.
That is a great point.
Talent wins. The way the Nets played the Bulls last night, is there any team that's going to beat the Nets if that's the team that plays and all three of those great players are in the lineup?
Yes, somebody could beat them, but it'd be really hard. And you'd have to play some pretty near perfect basketball. It's unbelievable to watch when the three of them are on there. I'm probably exaggerating a little bit. When those three are out there, there's almost like a look of panic on the opponent's defenses, because how do you guard these three guys? They're three of the most gifted offensive players that have played in the league, you could say of all time, because of how skilled they are each offensively. And all three of them can beat you by scoring. All three of them can beat you by passing, by ball handling. It's unbelievable to watch. And you know, you hope from a standpoint of, you know, if you want to watch great basketball and you want to see great teams, you hope that somehow it works out, whether the mandates are taken away or he decides to get a vaccine, that we could watch this team grow together, like play game after game after game together, because they'd be even more scary. But there are teams out there that could do it. I mean, there's a couple of great teams right now in the NBA, starting with Golden State and Phoenix and Milwaukee. And I'd even still, when Chicago's whole, put Chicago up there as teams that have a chance to win it all. So it's a long way to go, but they have probably the highest ceiling in terms of putting it all together with the kind of talent they have.
You realize that Fordham is 2-0, Mike, for the first time in the Atlantic 10 ever?
You know, when I saw that, I was like, wow, that's they've been in the Atlantic 10 a long time.
27 years.
It's an incredible statistic, but it's also a happy one because Kyle Neptune, the new coach, he's done such a good job, and he's such an impressive young coach. I went to see them play, and I thought of Tom Penders when we were there, when Penders came in and turned things around. The first thing that jumps out to you is how hard they play, and that's a great thing to watch.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now I'm going to do. This is the first that has happened since the news got out, and Don and Peter don't even know it. So you know I'm doing the K-Rod Sunday Night Baseball megacast, and I am going to invite you right now when the Yankees play the Mets on a Sunday Night Baseball, and we're doing the megacast. I want you to be one of the guests. Wow! What do you say?
The brilliance of the sound effects are it's one of the features of the show that I love so much.
It's a Fordham guy, Anthony Pusick.
It's great, Anthony Pusick.
I know it. Yeah, oh, it's great, just great. That you sure you want to throw that out there now?
Yeah.
Well, if you're keeping track at home, Mike, he has laughed off the idea of Don or I ever joining the show, but in the last 72 hours, he's invited. The great Ryan Clark of ESPN. Ryan Clark has been invited. You have been invited. And actually, even fictional character Brockmire has been invited. But Don and I, still on the outside looking in, sadly.
I think Mike would be great. Mike has met Alex, and Mike loves the Mets. I think it'd be a great, great spot.
Well, I'd be honored, but I think maybe the people in charge might want to get a little higher profile guests.
Come on. I know you're humble.
You're a Hall of Famer, Mike. Stop it.
Yeah,
he is.
But then again, I was watching, I watched a whole hour the other night of Center Stage.
Oh, no.
They had the best of Center Stage. And I sent Michael a text on this, and I mean it with all my heart. He's as good as anybody who's ever interviewed in that type of format. He's phenomenal. How he puts the people at ease and makes them comfortable, how he draws things out of them, how sometimes he sits back, he knows when not to say anything and let them keep going. It's just, he's brilliant at that. And as I'm watching it and I'm thinking, wow, I'm so proud of him, my friend for 40 plus years, I said, he never invited me on the show. And I realized, because I wasn't big enough name, I'm not good enough to be on the show. So that's why I'm having the same thought here.
Oh, you know what? I'm gonna call BS on you because you can't be on the show because it's a Yes Network show and you work for MSG.
Oh,
so heads would explode.
He got you.
No. That could explode on something like that.
Oh, absolutely, it would. No. Absolutely, it would. We wanted to get Walt Frazier on, we couldn't because he's on MSG. We weren't allowed.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
The only reason you're allowed on this is because the simulcast is secondary. And you're really on ESPN Radio. Please, Mike, I would move heaven and earth to spend time with you. So
and you
where
definitely
are you going tonight in Chicago?
There.
Seriously. Where are you going tonight in Chicago?
You really want to know?
Yeah.
I'm going to Tavern on Rush.
Oh, I love that place.
Great place with a very dear friend of ours.
Who's that?
Mike?
Yep.
Mike McCarthy? Oh, wow.
Yep.
Oh, tell him I said hello. It's my
the
former
man
agent.
Who hired me to be the Knicks announcer.
Wow. And now that means that Jeff Van Gundy's going to continue his hermit act in a hotel and stay there, right?
Well,
one of the greatest towns in the world, he's going to stay in his hotel. I know he is.
Well, we'll invite him, but he won't.
He'll say
come.
No. Yeah, he'll say no.
Mike, can I ask you a question about Jeff? Whenever we have him on the program, which is pretty regularly, he's always great. He's always interesting. And I've never brought this up to Michael and Don, so they may yell at me and say they totally disagree. But I find that every time we start with him, it always sort of feels like you're starting at zero and like we don't know him that well. And then he warms up, and then by the end, he's like completely going again. Is that just to us, or is that sort of the JVG way?
I agree with you, Peter, by the way.
That's the JVG way. When you first – and I listen to him all the time. Like, if he's on a podcast – and don't tell – please don't play this back to him.
No, we won't. he'll never
hear
when
this. He's on a podcast or on another radio show, if it's recorded, I'll listen to it because I love listening to him because he's so damn smart and he's funny. So I always listen to it. And it's the same time every time – he goes on, by the way, he greets the people that he's going to talk to. Like, say, hello, Jeff. It sounds like it's the last thing he wants to do in his life.
Yes! Which is probably true.
But then by the end, he's right. Going off on everything.
It's not true. He loves doing it because if he's asked good questions and he enjoys the back and forth, he has the time of his life. But it's every single interview, he sounds like, yeah, I'm fine. Yeah, let's go on.
He sounds like a car in the winter. He's just it's hard to turn him
it
over.
He sounds Have you ever told him this?
No.
No.
Oh, you got to bring it up to him.
We will. Now, the last time he was on, we hit him with this and he thinks he's right with this, and this is when he really got animated. He thinks he could root for the Astros and for the Mets. How do you root for two teams? And then when I said, "Well, what if they play in the World Series?" He said, well, I'll decide at that point, but you're not going to tell me who to root for. Can't root for two teams, Mike.
He's peculiar about certain things, and I think that's one of them. He can't.
Oh, stop.
Well, you can root for them as they, you know, like I have certain teams that if the Knicks aren't playing well or have a chance or anything, I like other teams to do well. Same thing in baseball. If the Mets are knocked out, no, that's not true. I can't really refer anybody.
Also, he's a Fugazi Houstonian. He's not even really a Houstonian. Yeah. Stop it.
He's a Fugazi Houstonian and a car starting up in the winter.
That's right.
And we love the guy.
His Wikipedia page.
Do you absolutely love the hiring of Buck Showalter?
Oh, my goodness. I'm so happy. I'm ready to go down to these labor negotiations and tell them to get their act together because this is the year. I mean, it's got such a great feel that this is going to be the year.
I'm going to set you guys up. I think it would be a great dinner because Jeff wants to meet him. You like him. I'm friends with him. If we can get a dinner for four, would it work for you?
Oh, it'd be fantastic.
Good.
Yeah, I'm not interested.
We'll see you at Tavern on Rush tonight.
Okay.
Mike, thanks for coming on. Tomorrow, Warriors and the Bulls on ESPN. Yeah. That's a game that you're going to want to watch. And because Mike Breen's doing it, it's going to be outstanding.
So when I first come on the show, do I sound like I'm happier to be on with you than Jeff does?
Yes.
Yeah,
you sound comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You sound
very
like...
comfortable.
Also, but you have a way about you at the beginning. You have a way about you at the beginning.
Yeah, he does have a way. He has a way.
You have a little deadpan little shot that you'll take.
Yes, that is
true. It's never really like out of the box hard. You just have a little nasty shot that you want to get in, and then that kind of paves the road for the rest of the ride.
You weren't a slob. You were hefty. It goes from little deadpan to little nasty.
Yeah, there you go. That's pretty much our relationship.
Like, do you like evaluate guests like this all the time?
Well, Don hates guests, so we have to evaluate them.
Not a fan.
Hey, guests are whack.
Oh my God, Mike! You know what you have to get tonight? You know what you have to get tonight? The Thai sweet chili rock shrimp. That sounds delightful.
You're looking at the menu. You're not going to go tonight.
I want to know what Don. What I want to know what Mike's eating at Tavern on Rush. I've never heard of it. I assume it's a beautiful, fancy place because Mike's going there. And this. I love rock shrimp and Thai sweet chili. Oh, delightful.
Now, why are you going to Tavern on Rush? It's right across the street from Gibson's.
I love Gibson's as well. That's the problem in Chicago.
There's not enough days.
There's too many. There's too many to pick from.
Well, Mike, enjoy the dinner. Tell Mike McCarthy we said hello.
Yes, please.
Give him the $100.
Okay, and thank you for the nice words on Center Stage. Means a lot.
You're very welcome.
Bye, Mike.
See you guys.
See ya. All right, we're running late, but if you're going to run late for anybody, it's going to be Mike Breen.
That's right.
So ENN's coming up in just a moment right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. The ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.